This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Are you mad?
You're about to launch into a Mad Wednesday podcast
from Joy 94.9.
It is Joy, it is Michael and Dean, and joining us on the line now, they describe him as the manager extraordinaire. Well, I reckon we'll get the description right from the man himself. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Mr. Simon Napier-Bell.
Hello,
mate, you're all right?
So there we are.
Yeah, are you well?
Yeah, fine, thank you.
Good.
I'm well, beautiful and handsome and all those lovely things.
That's all we want out of life, isn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely.
Now, I believe you are on your way to Melbourne, is that right?
Well, I haven't quite got to the airport yet. That will be in 10 days' time. But, you know, I'll be there.
You'll be there. Now, when we look at your, resume, and we look at all the amazing people that you've worked with over the years, it really is the list, isn't it? I mean, when you look at names like Dusty Springfield or Mark Bolan or Boney M, Sinead O'Connor, it is incredible. When did it all begin for you?
Well, I became a musician when I was 16 or 17. I left school to become a musician. But I haven't done that for 3 or 4 years. I discovered I didn't really like playing music as much as I liked all the gossip and chat which went on backstage.
So I went
to the other side of the business. You know, the other side of the music. We're all the other side people, aren't we?
Yes.
So I went to the other side of the music business and looked after the musicians instead of actually being one myself. And that was, I started pretty well bang off with the Yardbirds. At that time was probably one of the biggest three groups in the world, was the Rolling Stones, the Beatles, and the Yardbirds.
Yeah.
I managed to jump in there and grab them. So it was I started at the top and then had a long, slow decline, I think.
Now, what about when you were working with bands? When didn't you discover Wham?
Oh, I didn't discover Wham. They discovered themselves.
Did they?
I saw them on Top of the Pops. They already had a hit when I started managing them. I saw them on Top of the Pops and thought they were really an extraordinary group. They had a sort of a style and panache like I'd never seen before. And this wonderful image of this relationship of these two guys. I'm a very straight relationship with Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid. You know, the two straight guys who like each other better than all the girls they shag all through the movie. And I thought, this is an absolute winner image. I've got to go for that.
Yeah. What was it like then working with, you know, George Michael? I mean, what an incredible icon he was and what a great loss to us all he was as well.
Yeah, well, he didn't start off being the icon. You know, when Wham started, the first tour we did, I mean, the girls all screamed when Andrew went on stage, not when George went on stage.
Really?
Lovely, tall and graceful and had blonde hair and good looks. And George looked at him and thought, well, I better get some of that. So by the end of the tour, George's hair was blonde as well. And by the second tour, of course, it was George they all screamed at. But, you know, he learned fast. He was very good. But he really understood the business, how it worked, how to write songs. And he was really the most professional person to work with.
I bet he was. What about, if you don't mind, I've got to ask, in your career, who was the most difficult?
They're all bloody difficult. I tell you, for a manager, artists are difficult people. I love them, but they're all crazy. They're all difficult. I mean, George is as difficult as anybody could be.
Right.
But, you know, if they're really good and they've got the talent, you forgive them all that. Because you know that's the job before you start. If they're not difficult, they're not a proper artist.
Right.
But you're not going around saying, oh, this guy's really difficult. You're just going around saying he's a proper artist. It's okay.
Yeah. Was there anyone that you would have loved to have looked after but didn't?
Oh, I don't think so, because, you know, the relationship between a manager and artist isn't friends, it's professional. It's like being with a doctor or something. You know, and the artists I know who are friends are the ones I never managed because you never had to confront it with the business and the seriousness and all that.
Yeah.
And so I can't really say that because I've got one or two artists who are friends and I thought, well, if I managed them, they probably wouldn't have been. Not we'd have been enemies, it's just not the same easygoing relationship.
Yeah.
But I'm very happy with who I managed. There's a couple of artists I missed out on through being a bit silly or, I mean, When Wham were making the video of Careless Whisper in Miami, we allowed 6 journalists only to come because they were a huge group by then. And one of the journalists came to me one night and said, could I give you a cassette tape? And I got really angry. I said, we gave you a press pass to be pressed, not to come and solicit me with your horrible tapes. I slung it out the hotel window and it went right in the sea below. And actually, that was Neil Tennant of Pet Shop Boys offering me their first album.
So
I blew that one.
Yeah, right. I saw them recently in Brighton. They didn't mention that's Tory. Now you're going to be on
a great show they do.
Oh, bloody, even after all these years, yeah, without a doubt, they've still got it.
They've got something. You know, there was something about Pet Shop Boys. One of the things I always thought was wonderful. Their music, they for the first 10, 7 years, they weren't out, so they didn't even admit to being gay. But their music just had in it an innate sort of gay thing that you just knew.
Yes.
It was something that touched your soul. Touched your gay soul.
Yes.
That music. It was really extraordinary.
Which is just near your asshole. Sorry, Simon, I couldn't help myself. Now, you're going to be on at the Arts Centre on the 9th of September. We're just going to get lots of stories, aren't we? I would imagine. That's what I want.
I don't know. I mean, Jane Gazzo is going to do the interviewing.
Yeah.
And she's pretty good. Amazing. She weeds all things out of me.
Yes.
I'm there to answer the questions she asks and expand on them. And, If I just told you everything that's all in my books, it'd be a 15-hour talk. So
yeah.
It's up to her and the audience also. You're going to get questions and answers. You've just got to be a bit selective. Ask what you want. Nothing naughty. Nothing naughty, please.
I bet there will be.
I don't do size questions.
All right, well, we'll look forward to it, and we'll see you in Melbourne very, very soon. It is on the 9th of September, and you can get all your tickets and information at artscentremelbourne.com.au. Good on you, mate.
Very good.
All the best.
Hope you're both there.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. We're going to ask the naughty questions. Hi, mate.
Oh, no. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to another Mad Wednesday podcast, driving you home every Wednesday afternoon from 4.
Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.